This show is designed to give general information related to investing in finance. Neither Aaron Katzman, his guests, nor the radio station are rendering legal, tax, or specific investment advice. If you need such advice, contact a licensed advisor.
And welcome to the Aaron Katzman Show. I'm your host, Aaron Katzman. We speak about your life, your money, and your investments. And as always, we're coming to you from the spiritual and soon-to-be financial capital of the world, Jerusalem, Israel. If you like this content, please hit the like button below. And if you've not yet done so, please subscribe to both the YouTube channel and to the podcast. So after a few weeks of solo episodes just featuring me, I know you got sick of it. We figured we'd get back to the entrepreneurship series that we've been focusing on for these last few months. And it's my pleasure to bring on the show Ilana Sinclair, who founded Capture Your Story, a boutique memoir writing agency to ensure that everyone has the opportunity to share the story's history and messages that mean the most to them with their loved ones. Endlessly curious, Ilana loves to dive behind the surface to truly understand what makes people tick through the experiences that shape them. Ilana, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit, what is Capture Your Story?
Capture Your Story is it's a memoir writing agency where we interview our clients predominantly over Zoom, write their life stories from those interviews, and then turn that into a beautiful keepsake book that their children and grandchildren and future generations can treasure. And through that book, connect to the people that they have come from. So they will better understand their parents and their grandparents and all that they went through, and also get to know what their family history is. So it's a way of connecting generations and ensuring that our clients feel that everything that's important to them has been given over, passed down to future generations.
So explain a little bit about the process. Let's say I call you up and I say, you know, I have an amazing story that I want my children and future grandchildren, hopefully, to know about. How does it work exactly? Do I have to like write something, or is it, you know, how does it work?
No. So our goal is for the process to be as easy and enjoyable for the client as possible. We hear so often that people want to do this. They've been meaning to do this, but the actual process of writing your life story can be very daunting. So what we do is we do all of the hard work. All our clients have to do is tell their story. So to get started, I would have a conversation with you, understand what your background is, what your story is, and what you're looking to accomplish. And then I would sort of be the matchmaker. We have four writers right now, in addition to myself, all based in Israel. And I would assign an interviewer / writer to you who I would feel would be a good fit. And then the two of you would meet over a series of weeks. And that interviewer would slowly draw out your story, asking you questions and then letting you share everything that's important to you that you want contained in your book. And at the conclusion of the interviews, that writer will then take about a month and write up a first draft of your manuscript. And then it would go back to you. So you'd get to edit it, read it, make sure it's exactly the way you want it, if you said something that you regretted, we can always edit it out. If you forgot to mention something, we can always later write it in. And once that part is completed, then I send the book with all of your photos and documents and everything that's important to you to our graphic designer, who's also located in Israel. And she would turn that manuscript and those photos into this beautiful, very modern looking coffee table book that you'd be proud to show to your friends and your family.
I've heard this is becoming really, really popular. The people, it's funny, in an age where, you know, I don't want to say books are going out of style, but people read less and everything's on the phone, that sort of the memoir, the family history is something which is catching on, and more people are doing that.
I think so. I think people are realizing that there's something about a book that you can't really replace. I mean, people ask me sometimes, should I do this over video instead? And I think video is very valuable. I mean, it's wonderful to actually see your loved ones, you know, expressions and hear their voice, no doubt. But I think that there's still something about a book that makes it more accessible. It's very hard to sit down and watch maybe a 3-hour interview. But it's not hard to sit down and read a few pages of a book that's really well written, that makes it a really compelling story to read, and that looks beautiful. So, I mean, for us, on Shabbat, one of my kids' favorite activities is looking through our old photo albums.
Right.
So this is sort of like that, but with the story connected to the photos. So it really brings it to life. I don't think books will ever go out of style. I think, you know, interviews and podcasts, they're all wonderful, but I think a book is still something that you're going to be glad. And it's something that you can actually pass down. The technology is not going to become obsolete at some point. You know, a book is right. A safe investment.
So how did you get into this? Right? Is this something that you did before, or you just sort of fell into this? Like, what was the process to getting to this? What's your story?
I have always really loved working with older adults. That's sort of like the reason that I originally became a social worker, was because I hoped that I would get to work with that population. And then life sort of happened. I ended up, instead of working as a social worker in a clinical setting, I ended up working in the Jewish community in nonprofits when we lived in the U.S. And then we made Aliyah. I ended up working for some nonprofits here, but I became a marketing director because I had strong writing skills. And so that passion of mine was sort of put on the back burner for a long time. And then the very, very beginning of COVID, I was concerned. I started wondering if people got sick really quickly and passed away, what would happen to their stories? I felt like those stories would just vanish and we would have no way of ever knowing them, of ever feeling that connection or understanding really the full life of those people that we loved. So I was chatting with my husband one night and I was concerned about it. And I thought, somebody really needs to interview older adults and write down their stories now while they're still with us. And then it occurred to me, why not me? I had all these writing skills. I had been a marketing director for almost 10 years and I have the social work background and I have the curiosity and the passion. And also at that time, people were really starting to feel more comfortable using Zoom. That's one gift that COVID gave us, is that technology was no longer prohibitive for older adults who maybe before had never gone near their laptop or their computer. Suddenly they were getting more familiar with it because it was important. That was their way of connecting. So since everybody started having this greater sense of ease around it, I thought we can try interviewing people over Zoom. That way they don't need to worry. I mean, people didn't want to have other strangers coming into their home.
Right.
And they didn't even want to leave their home. So this way we could still connect. It was a safer way to do it. And also for a lot of older adults, COVID or not COVID, there is a sense of isolation that can happen. And this was a way of sort of counteracting that, with somebody coming in, really genuinely being interested in hearing their story, in getting to know them, asking questions beyond surface questions, but really about how did they make these decisions and why, and what did that mean for them? You know, that curiosity can actually do a lot to help somebody's mental health. So I decided I was going to try it. And I started at the beginning doing all of the parts of the process myself, from getting the clients, conducting the interviews, writing their stories, and then turning those stories into the book, doing all the graphic design. And then slowly, thank goodness, it started to grow. And I hired my first writer and my second writer, and now we have four writers.
Wow.
And then when I was able to actually hire a professional graphic designer, I think that really helped us level up. I mean, I'm definitely not a graphic designer, and I did fine, but there's no comparison between the early books and the way they look now. So beautiful, so professionally laid out, that it's been such a wonderful surprise that the business has grown.
It's a brand new business. It's very niche-based business. How did you get clients? How did you get your first client? And then how did you manage to keep getting clients in order to hire a whole staff?
Well, at the beginning, the truth is I asked my grandmother, who at the moment she's 94, thank God she should continue to live, be healthy. I asked her to write to her friends. That's what I didn't know how to find these people. It was like, I want to help them, but they don't know about me. And how can I bridge that?
Mm-hmm.
So she sent me a list of emails of her friends. And I sent out an email, you know, explaining that I was launching something called Capture Your Story and the intention behind it. And I got three clients.
Wow.
And so I started with those initial three. And at the same time, I was working on building a social media presence. I built a website using Wix. I didn't know anything about that. And I just tried to establish myself as a credible business so that if somebody actually heard about me, they could go and find us and us, you know, now we're plural, not just me, and read about what Capture Your Story was. I also have to say that Mati, you know, the organization Mati here was really helpful. I took a course in launching a business, and I found that to be very useful. And they actually hired my first writer through that. I met him in that course. And also, there are these wonderful supportive networks here in Israel. One is called IWEN, which is Israeli Women Entrepreneurs Network, I believe. And the other is Ima Kadima. And I would go on these groups and I would just ask for advice because I don't have a partner. It was just me, which is, it's wonderful to be a solopreneur, but also I didn't go to business school. So I'm giving myself my own education in how to do this. And it's all trial and error. So I felt that these supportive networks of women have sort of been my partner. And when I have a question, I'll go to them and I get some wonderful feedback. So that's been great.
So when you grew up, do you come from a family of entrepreneurs? Did you ever have the bug? You know, did you
no.
think one day, hey, I'm going to have my own business? Was that ever even?
No. No. Definitely. My grandfather was an entrepreneur and he was a very successful businessman in real estate. He passed away about 5 years ago, but he was definitely a role model for me. But my parents are, my dad's a psychiatrist and my mom's a psychologist. So, I mean, they do have their own businesses, but I never had this burning feeling to be an entrepreneur. In fact, I was very happy to have a boss and to have a 9-to-5 job. And because I have 4 kids, I like the flexibility of being present for my kids. But I also was starting to feel that the kids weren't as young anymore and that I could do more with myself than what I had been doing. And this felt too important not to pursue. I really am passionate about it. And so for better or for worse, I definitely spend many more hours working, but the work is gives me energy and, you know, drives me. It's not that I feel I have to do it and I'm annoyed about it. It's that I love it. I really am so excited about it. And I feel so good about helping people. And now we're at the point where it's a lot. I mean, I don't want to turn anyone away. And I'm very grateful that we have people coming to us, but all the writers are maxed out. So I'm starting to look into hiring, you know, another writer or two, because I can't bear to turn somebody away. And I don't know. I mean, we can use a waiting list for something, but when we're talking about older adults in their 80s, I don't want to waste any time with them.
Right. You've hit the issue that a lot of entrepreneurs, small business owners have, and that's how to actually scale your business. That's the big trick. So you came to Israel, you live in Israel, which is not Los Angeles, right? It's a foreign language. It's a foreign culture. You decided to take the plunge, right? You took advantage of a really, really awful situation of Corona and sort of turned it on its face, but you didn't have any experience. You went to, an organization that helps small businesses sort of get started or entrepreneurs get started. How do you find running your own business forget about in America, right? In a foreign country with a foreign business climate and a foreign language, how is all that?
Well, I'm not really proud of this, but the truth is my Hebrew is terrible. So I didn't feel that it was never really an option for me to try to break into some Israeli market. My clients are all English speaking. My writers are all English speaking. I did have one Israeli client at one time, and I didn't feel comfortable with that because I can't edit her book.
Okay.
I like to be the editor of every book so that I feel there's quality control. And my Hebrew is not at that level. My kids, thank God, are very Israeli and their Hebrew is great. But I accept sort of who I am. I'm proud of the fact that we made Aliyah and that we did leave our very comfortable lives. And even though I do want to improve my Hebrew, professionally, I don't see that as being very realistic. I cannot work at the level I need to in Hebrew. But all of the writers and graphic designer, we are all Olim. So I actually feel I feel proud of the fact that I'm able to help, you know, employ other Olim and help each other. You know, we're going through similar issues and that those networks I mentioned, those are also made up of Olim entrepreneurs in Israel. So, I mean, that's one really, I think, special thing about Israel is that there's that sense that you can reinvent yourself here. And nobody bats an eye that you're starting a new, you know, a new career or you have a side hustle. Those things are normal here. Whereas in the States, I felt like you're sort of put in this box, whatever it is that you train to do, that's who you are. But here it doesn't have to be that way. I like that entrepreneurial, you know, pioneer spirit here. And I feel like I didn't expect it. I wasn't looking for it, but I feel very comfortable in it now. And I'm proud of the fact that I've made something, hopefully, that's helping other people.
And how do you find just like the technical aspects, how, you know, starting the business and the bureaucracy and the accountants and the taxes and all that kind of stuff? You know, how is that?
That's terrible. I really don't enjoy that aspect of it. You know, I have a good accountant and we've been with the same firm since the beginning. They do our American taxes and our Israeli taxes and now my business taxes. If I could outsource all that, like that would be my dream. The next person I hire would like to just take all those, the bookkeeping and all the stuff I don't enjoy off my plate. But for now, I'm the one that's responsible for that. I think there are just parts of the business that are sort of necessary evils, and that's one of them. I can't say it's easy, but it's just part of it.
And do you have a sense of satisfaction? Yeah, it's a lousy word, especially when I'm speaking to somebody who's in the business of writing. But the fact that you've come here and started a business in a foreign country and the successful business, like, do you think about that ever? And does that give you like a self of, you know, a sense of satisfaction?
I mean, I don't take any of it for granted, and I don't assume that it's always going to be this way. I've had ups and downs, and, you know, it's hard for me to even explain during the higher times what is behind it or the slower times. So I don't take any of it for granted, and I hope it continues, and I'm working very hard so that it does. And I'm very proud of it. But again, like, I sort of feel like I'm fumbling, you know, my way through this whole thing, and, I'm amazed at the gift of it, that it's actually working and that it's actually bringing people, you know, a sense of peace of mind, that they're able to tell their stories. I had an 80-year-old client recently who had been carrying around her parents' Holocaust survivor stories. She's an only child. And I'm not sure why it took her so long, but the fact that she was finally able to get those stories down, it's just an incredible sense of relief for her and for her children and their children. And there was another client recently, his daughter came to us. Her father had a brain tumor. And there was this real sense of urgency to get that story down. And we did manage to, before he passed away. And when I went to pay a Shiva call, all the people gathered there were sitting around their book, reading it. Wow. And sharing his stories. And so it's those moments where I feel like it's, I don't know, somehow divinely given to me this, that sounds a bit extreme, but you know what I mean? Like, it's just a gift that landed in my lap. That's how it feels, that I'm able to do this. I don't know.
You didn't decide to be really, really tacky and it while you were paying your condolence call and say, hey, I wrote that. Anybody else, anybody else want the book? This is a good timing, right? You didn't do that.
Well, you know, they did introduce me as the woman behind it. And I was okay. Really, it was very gratifying, but no, I wasn't passing out business cards at the.
finally, for prospective entrepreneurs, whether Olim or prospective Olim, who are coming here and thinking about starting a business, what would be like a tip that, you know, that you could give them to help, you know, push them to one, either yay or nay, go for it or not go for it? What would you say?
I think you need your team, your squad of people who are supporting you and who are also entrepreneurs to help you. There's no way I could have made it this far without people to consult with, you know, who aren't charging me every time I have a question, but are just there to help. And I'm also, by the way, really happy to help anybody who has questions. I can only say, you know, speak on my own experience. I don't have a background in this, but through trial and error, I can say what's helped me. But I say, go for it. You know, life is too short not to try. And if you're really passionate about it, I think you'll regret it if you don't. So go for it.
And finally, Ilana, how can people get in touch with you?
We have a website. It is www.captureyourstory.org. And you can check us out and reach me through the email there. And I would love to speak to anybody who's interested.
Ilana Sinclair, thanks so much for coming on the show.
It has been my pleasure. Thank you, Aaron.
You've been tuning in to the Aaron Katzman Show, where we speak to you about your life, your money, and your investments. If you like this, please hit the like button below. And if you've not yet done so, please subscribe to both the YouTube channel and to the podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll speak to you soon.